you, Bill Malone.
Thank you, Ken. I certainly need your prayers this evening. Guess I do every evening, every day. You know, when I woke up this morning, I woke up a little bit different than I usually do. And it was something that was really beautiful. I don't remember it ever happening to me before. But I woke up and the very first thing that I thought of this morning, it just hit me right there. I woke up, I opened my eyes, and I thought to myself, I said, "Good morning, God." And it seems like I've kind of felt His Spirit with me throughout this whole day. I have really enjoyed this day. I think that's kind of a neat way to wake up in the morning. I'd like to read a little bit on page 631 in the Book of Mormon. This is where Christ first shows Himself to the people in this continent. And the people have just undergone, this is about 34 AD. And the people that are left on this continent were the more righteous part of the people that were spared from all of the terrible catastrophes that took place for the time that Christ was crucified. There were just innumerable things that happened to this land, earthquakes and fire and all kinds of tempests. And there were many, many people destroyed. And this is what happened to these people who were left. Those who were Nephites and Lamanites together, those who were righteous, and that were spared from this terrible catastrophe. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice as if it came out of heaven. And they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding, it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul and did cause their hearts to burn. I think many of us have felt that feeling when the Spirit of God was with us in great power. I have, and it's something that is something to really look forward to. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it. And their eyes were toward the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards the heaven, from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto them, "Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him." And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven. And behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. Can you imagine being there at that time? Witnessing something as marvelous and as glorious as being there in the presence of Christ when he came to those people. And I wonder, are we the more righteous people that Christ is coming to when he comes again? You know, he's coming again. I think we all believe that. We know that he's coming again. He's coming again to his church that he has set up here on the earth through Revelation. There's no doubt in my mind that he's coming to his church. I pray and I hope that each one of us here are found doing the things that are required of us as members of his church. Each one of us have to humble ourselves sufficiently, and we have to rely on revelation that God has given to man. And we have to rely on our faith to pull us through when times get tough. It's not always a bed of roses. This life we live is full of ups and downs. When we're up, it's easy to call on the Lord. And it seems like, how could we forget to call on him if we're down? Because there's so much in store for us when we are close to him. But yet, when something does come up in our lives, it kind of leaves us with a empty feeling. That's when we need to draw closer to the Lord the most. And I guess that's when Satan kind of works on us the most. It says Satan teaches a man not to pray. Sometimes it's really hard to... You know that it would be so easy just to call on the Lord. I don't know what it is, but it's really hard for me sometimes because I just don't have that desire to pray sometimes. I'd like to read in 6th chapter of Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think I usually relate to these treasures that he tells us that we should not lay up for ourselves here on earth. I usually refer to those as worldly possessions. And today I kind of thought in a different line. I thought maybe what he's referring to here, or partially what he's referring to, is not necessarily material things. It could be our time, the time that we spend at leisure, or the time that we spend in study for the Lord. I think what we do with our time, if we waste our time on things of the world, that is kind of what he's talking about. Treasures of the earth. About 3 weeks ago, we decided to try something in our household. We took our two televisions and we put them in a closet and we set them there. And they've been there ever since. We thought we'd try it for a month and see if we can see what kind of change it would make in our lives. It's made quite a bit of difference in my life. A lot of this time that I used to devote to watching television, I spend more time with my family. And I spend a little more time studying the scriptures. I think it's kind of tough on the kids sometimes, because there's lots of times that they ask me, and there's lots of times where I just about break down and give in to them, but we'll wait until our month is up, and then we'll talk it over and see what we want to do from there. There's times when it takes a lot of willpower to leave that thing there in the closet. Times when you know there's a program on that you'd like to see. But yet, when it's all over, you find that you've gone along just fine without it. And most of the time, you've done something that is going to be a lot more towards building up your spiritual life and your physical family life. There's another thing that I've done here in the last 3 weeks. About 3 weeks ago, I started on a diet. Now, I've gone on lots of diets before, sometimes two or three times a day. Sometimes they just don't last much longer than an hour or two. But this is the first time ever that, of course, this is also the first time where I really needed to that bad. I was getting up there to where it was a little uncomfortable. And I thought, well, we'll go on this diet. And then I knew that my willpower wasn't really strong enough. I didn't feel to stick with it. So there was a couple guys down at work that are always talking about going on diets. So we kind of worked out a little contest between us. And for the winner, there was a reward. And it kind of gave me something to work towards, a goal that was there. There was a magic number that I had to hit, and when I did, then I was the winner of the contest. And there was a little more. There was something in it other than just for myself. It was having a goal and having a reward when you've reached your goal makes it a little more worthwhile. And I was kind of putting that in parallel with our life here on earth. You know, there's a lot of things that confront us that take a tremendous amount of willpower to withstand. Things that we know are wrong, things that are not pleasing to the Lord that we do, and that tempt us at times. And it takes a lot of willpower to resist these things. But I think one of the things that keeps us going is that the reward that is ours to receive by keeping the Lord's commandments throughout our stay here on earth is so great and so vast, and it's just almost too hard to really understand it. There have been those in the scriptures who have had a glimpse of what heaven would be like. Oftentimes they don't even attempt to put it in words. It's so beautiful and so marvelous. Oftentimes they're told not to tell what it's like. They're commanded of God. I'd like to read on the second chapter of Mark. In the 17th verse, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are well have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think of the purpose of the ministry as they're up here preaching, telling of our Savior. And I really feel like, who am I to be preaching to those of you who in most cases are probably more righteous than I am? I think God wants more of us than just for the ministry to preach to just the members of this church. I know he wants more. He requires a lot more of us. You know, we like to think of ourselves, and we like to think that our purpose is missionary in purpose. We've got to be doing more than just preaching to one another and testifying to one another. I know it strengthens me when I hear the testimonies of others. But I think God wants us to step out. Now, it'd be nice if we'd all just hear his voice and he'd say, this is where I want you to go. I think that'd be marvelous. And I think he could do it. But I don't necessarily think that that's the way he's going to work with us. I think we have to step out in faith. We have to go forth and rely on God to help us in the things that we endeavor that are missionary minded. I want to be found when Christ comes back to the earth. I want to be found not standing up here preaching to those who know the gospel of Christ, but I want to be found spreading the gospel, spreading this story that we all hold dear to our hearts, spreading the fullness of the gospel to the untold numbers throughout the world that are searching for it, but they don't know where to look. I think the time to put things off is over. It's time for us to go forth now in our missionary efforts. You know, I don't know where to start. I really don't. Where do I go to preach this gospel? Do I go stand on a street corner? I know that if I did, that God would be with me. He promised He would. I think it's the duty of each one of us here this evening to do their part in possibly helping the ministry to know the right way to step out and to go forth in missionary efforts. I would like to hear ideas from each one of you. Not necessarily right now, but think of the things. Which ways can we branch out? In what ways can we fulfill our obligations of ministers of Jesus Christ and take this message that has been given to us, that has been entrusted to us. Take this message to those who are seeking. I would really like each one of you to come up with an idea. And this isn't just a maybe, this is something I'd like you to do. Come up with an idea, write it down. Give it to our pastor that we might discuss the different ideas that are mentioned and brought up, and that possibly one of these or many of these ideas would be inspired of the Lord. You know, he can and he does work through anybody. But I really would like each one of you to do that for me. I'd really appreciate it, because I don't know where to start. I've got some ideas. I'm sure each one of you have an idea that you could maybe put down in writing. If not, well, perhaps jointly with others you could speak about different things that you could put down on paper and give to our brother Jim Lacey. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 32nd and 33rd verse. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. I think we can all see that the fig tree has put forth its leaves. Time is here for the work of the Lord to commence. Our church was founded in 1830, according to the law of the land. But a few years before that, a man named Joseph Smith had a desire to worship God. He wanted to join a church, but he didn't know which one to join. He went into the woods and he prayed, asking the Lord, which one of these churches of the day was the right one to join? All of the different churches had told him, this is the one. He was confused. Picture yourself going into the woods to pray. I can picture myself going there, but I don't know if I could go with the faith that Joseph Smith had that day. He must have had a lot of faith that he was going to receive an answer. And the answer was given to him, to join none of these. The scriptures talk about those people who draw close to him with their lips, but in their works they deny him. And the Lord told him that's what the churches of that day were doing. They were denying him. And he was told about the story of the restoration. I believe it was a little later. He had a visit from an angel a couple times. And he was told what would take place about the restoration of this gospel and about the plates. The story of the religious history of the people on this continent. And so the church was founded, and there were many revelations given to Joseph Smith and some of the others in the church in the early 1830s. And that revelation from God to man is what set up our church, Christ's church, here on the earth. I would like to read part of a revelation that was given in 1972. A revelation from God to this church through our brother Don Hasnick. This revelation was given and brought forth at a reunion that we had in November of 1972. It's a very long, but I'm just going to read a short portion of it. For I so proclaim that within a decade of time, the day of salvation of those hopes shall be made known, and comfort shall come to those who mourn over the loss of the gifts that have been promised to those who believe, to give the mourners of Zion the beautiful things instead of that which is ashes and instead of that which causes mourning. You will have the odor of perfume that is pleasant, and you will savor that which is good. And instead of the spirit of heaviness, you shall know through men called of righteousness that I have planted them, and that they speak now this glorious word to you. For now there shall be open to you the vision of Zion and truth, and you will begin under the leadership of they who are living in righteousness before me, of whom I have cleansed. They will guide you, that your vision will be perfect, and you will understand the Zion that shall be as the result, not alone of your faith, but the labors that you show to prove that faith. The Lord that we serve, the scriptures tell us many times, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Since the beginning of time, God has given revelation to man. I believe this revelation. The last line that I read in these phrases says, but the labors that you show to prove that faith. I don't think we have enough labors to show God right now to prove that faith. I look in my own life and I know that I would be found wanting. The labors that are required of us, I think we fall short in. Now, I sold insurance for about a year and a half. And then this other job came up, and I was having quite a few problems with my regional office. Couldn't get any service out of them. And had a district manager that didn't feel like he wanted to help me any. And so I terminated my contract, my license with that company to sell insurance. And now here I find myself again as a licensed life insurance agent. Licensed by God Almighty. When He called me, and I accepted and was ordained, I became His agent. To tell others of this life insurance that we have in these books. Now, there's two types of insurance agents as far as a license, as far as this state requirements. There's a regular agent who has to take a pretty tough test to get his license. And they have solicitors who work directly for the agent. They're licensed also, but it's not the same type of license. All they can do is just solicit for that particular agent. But yet they're still licensed with the state, with the authorities. Just as I'm a licensed agent, as is each one of the ministry, each one of you who are members of this church are licensed solicitors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We took upon us the name of Jesus Christ. We took upon us an obligation not to just sit there and sit back and let others do the work. I did that for many, many years. Each one of us, as members, have a calling to solicit this life insurance for those who are looking for life insurance, for the type of life insurance that God has to offer. I hope and pray that each one of us will do our share in fulfilling these obligations that we have taken upon us. There's a message that is told that I found myself singing the other day. I'm not much for remembering words, but there were just a few lines in there that kept coming back to me over and over. And what brought it on was at work last, I guess it was Friday. I felt as if my job had just been eliminated. We had kind of a shake-up down there. And it really got to me. I mean, I was really concerned. I thought perhaps that I wouldn't have a job in as short a time as a week. It wasn't because of anything that I did or any disagreement between myself and the company. It was just a certain chain of events that took place. They were unforeseeable. And I was, you know, I'm under a lot of pressure down that work, but it really doesn't really get to me. I just kind of take it in stride. But when I found out of this situation that had come up, well, it just shattered me. And it was, well, it was eating out my insides for a few hours. And then these words came to me. I came home, and the first thing I did was I knelt in prayer and prayed that I might know the Lord's will and that He would help me in overcoming this possible catastrophe that I thought was taking place in my life. The words of the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," came to me. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That tremendous load that I felt was lifted. It was was lifted later on. I can't remember, during that night or the following morning when I woke up. But all of a sudden, I didn't worry about it anymore. I felt it'll work out, and I'm sure it will. And then the words of another song came to me this afternoon. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May God bless you.
Thank you, Bill.